Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
You are Lord of lords, you are King of kings, you are mighty God, Lord of everything. You're Emmanuel, you're the great I am, you're the Prince of Peace, who is the Lamb. You're the living God, you're my saving grace, you will reign forever, you are Ancient of Days. You are Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, you're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer and friend. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life. You are holy, you are holy, you are mighty,
you are mighty,
you are worthy,
you are worthy.
Let's sing a song, King of Glory. Our rehearsals are open. Please come play with us anytime you want. Now it feels like we could turn the high end back up now that there's no monitor. Ba-da-dum. Yeah. This song's called King of Glory.
Don't lose heart, oh my soul, no, don't.
give up. There is hope. There is always hope. And there is peace in the storm, in the storm. Don't forget, He is Lord. He is Lord of all. There is a King of glory. There is a God who saves. One who is strong and mighty. Freedom is in His name. Open the gates of heaven without the shout of praise. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory. So lift your eyes, stand in awe, stand in awe. There is one, only one, where my help comes from. Glory, there is a God who saves, one who is strong and mighty. Freedom is in His name. Open the gates of heaven, lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory.
First verse again.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the
What a great way to start this morning. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. If you are from Whitmore Lake campus, usually, this is a little new for you this morning, so welcome. You're going to get treated to all the music today, all of you. If you are a visitor here today, you came on the right day, because it's going to be hopping all service. We've got lots going on, introductions for new members, great music. Mike, you're sweating. Yeah, the energy in here is fierce. It's great. My name is Loretta Job. I'm a retired deacon that's part of this church and the missions and ministries that go on here. This is a congregation, in case you didn't know, that wants to know God, love God, and
serve God.
All right. Today we're going to continue with our theme of God's promises to us, and Pastor Lindsay's going to be bringing us a message about God's presence in our lives. There are connection cards inside your bulletins. Please take a moment to fill those out. A, let us know you're here, but B, there are things on there that you can sign up for, things that are happening at the church. You saw lots of things going on the screen before service started, but let us know what it is that you want to be a part of, and we will make that happen. Also, if there's not something on there that you feel God is calling you to be a part of, then let somebody know. Let one of the clergy, one of the staff know, and we'll talk about getting that ministry and mission and getting that heart for God of yours in place. There are also prayer cards in the pews. They are bright yellow. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please fill those out. We have a group that meets every week that prays along with the clergy and staff, so please take a moment to do that. Today in worship, I can't name everybody who's here. The whole choir is here. Choir, bells, all help, band, everybody's here with worship this morning, so thank you. And Hemphill's going to bring scripture for us, so it'll be awesome. There is a little change this morning. If you have children with you, they're going to stay. We want them to enjoy this music, get fired up, be a part of this celebration this morning. They will be dismissed a little later in the service, and I believe Pastor John's going to let us know that. And then they will be returned to you. You don't have to go get them. They will come back. He's not going to take them far away, I promise. They'll be downstairs, and they have a super special thing going on with this, for the kids this morning. They're going to have a great day as well. I have some announcements this morning as well. We are still collecting photos to tell the story of what shapes us and our faith. And so if you could send in a picture with a 2 or 3 word description. That picture may not represent the exact moment, but talk about where God has been present in your life and where you felt God moving within you and being close to you. And we're going to share those. There's going to be a wall of honor out in the community room, so you can see everybody's stories, see all the faces. It'll be great to know how God is working in all of our lives in this day. Crop Walk is coming up. Just want to remind you, October 19th, if you are a walker and need people to sign up, get out in that community room and let's recruit. If you cannot walk but would like to donate, look for those people who are going to be walking for us. This is an annual thing. The funds are shared locally as well as worldwide, and Mary Kushner is the contact for all of that. Beginning October 18th, I know, good, you're all sitting down, Christmas rehearsals for the children's program begin. So please get registered online. It's a great, if you haven't been here for any of those productions, they are amazing. Susan and her team do such a great job. Yeah, a little applause is good. They're going to sing, dance, and perform and praise the Lord, and we're going to be blessed by it. So please put that date for your kids, your grandkids, whatever. Contact Susan here at the church. And lastly, October 12th, again, a little early, we're pushing it here, folks, Trunk or Treat Sunday. If you would like to decorate, so much fun. If you want to decorate your trunk, we line you up in the parking lot and the kids come through. If you can just donate candy, if you want to be a part of it, bring your kids, your nieces, nephews, whatever. It's a fabulous evening here, and we'll be taking donations in the library as well. You can see that there and be a part of that. So there is a form to register if you're going to have a car here, so just let us know. So we just know how much space to reserve. Those are all the announcements I have for this morning, and so I think we're going to hear some more from the band. All right, let's do it. And you.
Let's all sing together. Please stand.
Sinking sand, so stop your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock.
I'll press the side that rock. I stand on the ground. It's sinking sand. Stop your feet and clap your hands.
When I feel my home about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the water come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. When I feel my home about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing. Peter on the rock.
Got one more song in you?
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, out I wait to a home on God's celestial shore. When the shadows of this life have gone,
Wasn't that great? Kids, are you glad you got to stay for that? All right, now it's time for the kids to go to Sunday school. Your teachers are at the back. They're going to walk you downstairs. Go on down. A couple of you, if you want to stay to watch your parents join the church, it's okay. You can go after, but you can also go right now because there's something real good going on down there. Okay. So now we have a litany of celebration and thanksgiving. Come, people of God, gather to celebrate God's goodness and faithfulness. This has been a year of growth and grace.
We come with joy, for great is God's love among us.
We have grown in biblical literacy and deepened our faith in worship, in small groups, in classes where children and adults alike have opened the scriptures and discovered fresh meaning for their lives.
Thanks be to God, who opens the scriptures and forms our hearts.
We have strengthened our ministries with children and students and families, building community and providing care and creating space where young people are nurtured in faith and know they are beloved by God.
Thanks be to God, who blesses the next generation with love and care.
We have taken steps to renew and modernize our facilities, repairing what is worn, paving a way for what is next, and ensuring that our buildings can serve as a place of ministry and welcome.
Thanks be to God, who provides spaces where ministries can flourish.
We have dreamed of what it means to be a church in more than one place, listening for God's call, imagining how we extend hospitality, and embracing a vision that goes beyond the walls of a single building.
Thanks be to God, who calls us beyond walls and into the communities we serve.
We have enhanced our ministries with seniors, honoring wisdom and building connections and recognizing the lifelong witness of those who continue to grow in grace.
Thanks be to God, who is faithful from generation to generation. We have worked to become a church without walls, opening doors wider, removing barriers, welcoming all, and seeking to reflect the inclusive love of God.
Thanks be to God, who draws the circle wide and makes us one.
For all that God has done, and for all that God will yet do, let us lift our voices in praise.
Great is God's faithfulness.
Worthy is God's name to be praised forever.
Amen.
God is doing wonderful things in our congregation and throughout the community. And it is a great joy this morning to invite forward a wonderful group of disciples who are newly getting connected and joining in church membership. So I would invite you to come forward if you're joining in church membership this morning and making this your spiritual home. As you come forward this morning, we're going to stand right up front, just right up front here on the ground floor, so you don't have to worry about wires or steps. So won't you please come forward as we celebrate this great time together. Oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, and we are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation, and we're given new birth through water and the Spirit, and all of this is God's gift given to us without a price. And then through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant that was declared at our baptism, and we acknowledge what God is doing for us, and we affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
And so I present for membership these 17 persons by reaffirmation of their faith. Now, maybe when I say your name, would you kind of wave your hands so that they can tell? Because we didn't get you in alphabetical order, and so. All right, so first is Laura and Mike Bosak, and their two sons, Everett Bosak and Emerson Bosak, who are also joining today. Lee Cooper Yes. Christine Demerick. There. Mark and Vicki Higgins. Kenny and Laura Moore and their daughter Maddie Moore, who is also joining today. And their family includes Charlie and David. And then Allison and Jeff Oren, whose four children are Carter, Jackson, Claire, and Grant. Next is Charles and Eileen Root, and Elmer and Sharon Schwinniger, right? Schwinniger, I got it, yes. This is every, did I say everybody? Yes, all right. I present these people.
And so we have these questions for you this day. And so I ask you on behalf of this congregation, this whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
And do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil and justice and oppression and whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do.
According to the grace given you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, I will.
And congregation gathered here today, do you, as Christ's body, the church, do you also reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Jesus Christ? If so, say we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian life and faith, and now include these beautiful people within your love and care as well? Your response is on the screen. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us all gathered here join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. My friends, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. And so I have this final question for all of you who are about to join in membership of this church. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
Well, members of the household of God, I now commend these persons into your love and care. May you do all in your power to help increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
The God of all grace, who called us into eternal glory establish you, and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may all live in grace and peace. Friends, let us please welcome our new siblings in Christ as they join this congregation.
I'm sorry, I just have to say, what an incredible service. What a great-looking group of new members. Holy cow. Scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh, good morning, church. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, it's so good to be with you in worship, from the praise band to the music, the bells, the choir, new members. It is a joy to gather in praise and to gather in worship. And thank you, Bob, for sharing with us the scripture message this morning. He read from the New Revised Standard NRSV updated edition. And there are thousands, hundreds of translations to engage in reading scripture. And we've heard it in that translation, but I want you to really quickly also hear it in a translation called The Message. You're going to hear the same essence, but you're going to hear some different words, some different language come out. Let's hear it in another translation this morning as well. From Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. And keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The word of God. Let's pray. Oh, most loving and gracious God, for this day, we give you thanks for this time and this space, the sacred beauty around us. We give you thanks for the gorgeous fall weather, to the beautiful stained glass, to the hearts filling the sanctuary and online with gladness and joy. God, we give you thanks. In this time of worship, may we find that still, small voice that speaks to us. And the joy and the celebration and the grand music, God, may we also quiet our hearts and center ourselves to know that you are present also in the stillness and the quiet. God, if we come this day seeking rest, may we find it and may we find you here. If we're looking for comfort and strength, may you meet us in this day. And God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing, God, in your sight. You who are our rock, you who are our redeemer, and you, God, who call us your beautiful, beloved children of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I walked into church and I feel absolutely rejuvenated and joyful this morning. I feel like there's this extra pep in my step, and it's not the coffee, but it's the joy of being in community. And it's my spirit is alive with the sound of music. Oh gosh, I didn't plan that. And seeing the community and the disciples, my spirit is alive. But some mornings, quite often a good number of mornings, I wake up and my aging bones feel weary. I feel tired. Giggle, giggle. I know. I'm 42. 42-year-olds can be tired too. I wake up and I feel weary and I feel tired. And sometimes I feel like I'm carrying heavy burdens, and even though I've just slept for 7 hours, I'm ready to pull the covers over my head and go back to sleep because I'm tired. Can you relate? There's been different seasons in my life when I've felt weary and tired and heavy burdened. I remember being in seminary, graduate school, one of the best decisions I made to go to Garrett. That's where my husband John and I, Pastor John and I, met each other. And I remember being in grad school and seminary, and you know, you stay, work at the library long hours, you're studying and writing graduate seminary papers, and you're balancing internships, and you're feeling tired as you're trekking on and pressing on. Then I was a young 26-year-old, but nevertheless, I remember feeling tired and worn out. Then I remember the time and the season when I'm a young buck and new to ministry, green as ever, and fresh out of seminary and working 65 hours a week just trying to figure it all out. It takes, twice as long to do anything. And even though I felt rejuvenated in joy and passionate to serve, still feeling those moments of drain. Then a few years, handful of years later, introduced motherhood and the joy of parenting. And I remember those late night, up in the middle of the nights, nursing and changing of diapers, and back up and up on my feet and into the office early in the morning. And I remember one evening in the fall of 2018, sitting on my couch, our daughter is just about a year old, and I thought, oh, Lord, this is exhausting. I just don't think I can keep doing it all. And then we turn the corner and remember the early days of the pandemic. Maybe it hit you the way it hit me, and you're navigating that kind of exhausting energy of anxiety in a world where we're trying to figure out these new realities of life, of work, of relationship, of ministry, wondering how on earth it's going to turn out and when it's all going to end. There's been times, certainly in my own life, when things have gotten out of whack. Can you relate? When it feels like you're climbing Mount Everest and the trek before you is long and you put one foot in front of the other and you just pause for a moment and you're taking in these deep breaths, trying to catch it and get just enough energy to keep trekking slow and steady that next day. Can you relate? Do you feel like you're trekking up Mount Everest at moments in your own life right now? Tired or exhausted or burned out? It happens to the best of us. You're not alone in that boat if that's where you're at. So quite often, it's kind of a curious question to always ask, so what's the cause of our exhaustion? We live in a society and a culture where things keep going, the plates keep spinning. What's making us so tired? If we could just put our fingers on it and figure it all out, and quite often there's not just one thing that burns us out or keeps us tired or keeps us up at night, but sometimes it's a combination of things, isn't it? Of course, there's the obvious things, responsibilities and adulthood and kids and jobs and ministry and work and worry and friends and family and concerns of the world and turning on the television and opening up our social media feeds. There's the things that keep us up and keep us exhausted. But then we turn to the scripture passage and we're given this beautiful biblical text. From the translation that Bob read for us, Jesus gives these hope-filled, promised words, and he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus is willing to offer us rest, and yet how come time and time again we just keep feeling exhausted? What's going on? I love to turn to the gospel passages, the gospel narratives, and think about the stories and the realities of the biblical characters. And there's this absolute favorite passage of mine, so I know I've preached on this before. Forgive me, but maybe it's a good reminder for me to hear this morning. Maybe you'll take away something from it as well. There's this beautiful story about two sisters, Mary and Martha. It's this story of two sisters, and they're at odds with each other. One sister is tired and worn out and ragged and burned out, and the other's probably feeling pretty rested. She's good. The author of Luke writes about it, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Hear these words in RSV translation. "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village, and there a woman named Martha welcomed him, and he had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came to him and said, Lord, why don't you care that my sister has left me to do all of the work to myself? Tell her, then, to help me. I can just imagine the attitude in her voice. But the Lord answered her, Martha, oh, sweet Martha, you're worried and you're distracted by many things. But few things are needed. Few things are needed. Few things are needed. Indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Oh, that's got to be so frustrating for the Marthas in the room, right? When we reflect on this scripture passage, we notice this interesting dynamic between these women. Martha's doing the work. Mary is sitting at the feet. How frustrating and how exhausted it must be for Martha. And irritating to look over and see she's just sitting there. All the busy work has been left to her. And Martha is focusing on just being. At the end of the day, then, it's Mary who feels rested. She's not bitter. She's been connecting with Jesus. And she's the one that's actually praised for her presence of being. In a world where there's so much doing to be done, those moments of being are so important. And did you catch how she's let go of those things that are distracting her and she's just focusing on Jesus? She's focusing on the being with the people. How often is our task list so full that we forget to focus on being with the people? Golly, there's so much that can take our time and our attention and keep us distracted and keep us exhausted and keep us burned out and then lead us to those feelings of bitterness. So is that you this morning? Just answer in your head. And if it is, what do you think is burning you out or making you bitter? And what's stopping you from experiencing rest? Now, when we look at these sisters, like Adam and Eve, quick to blame each other, whoop, they did it. With these sisters, I think Martha could probably be pretty quick to go, whoop, she's the cause of my frustration and pain. And say, well, if Mary had just stepped up, I wouldn't be so burned out and bitter. Martha would probably be so quick to go, whoosh, it's her. She's not pulling your share. She's dumping all this stuff on me. She's causing my exhaustion. That's probably true to an extent. But perhaps not all of that busy work that was getting done really needed to get done then in the first place. Perhaps the three-course meal that was being prepared for Jesus could have been a simple soup and salad would have been just enough. Perhaps the perfect household that was clean didn't really have to be perfectly clean. A little dust would have been fine for Jesus. He walked those dusty roads down Emmaus. He knew them well. From dust you were created. To dust you shall return. A little dust in your house ain't so bad, I'm just saying. Perhaps Mary had her priorities straight, and she was actually focused on Jesus, helping her stay refreshed rather than burned out. And so not to finger point, not to blame, not to turn to somebody else, but sometimes, hear this, this is true for me. Sometimes we are the ones to put a stop to our own rest. Sometimes we are the one that gets in our own way. Now think for a moment, maybe it is the schedule, maybe it is the number of commitments, maybe it is the technology devices that are constantly dinging that we hold in our hand, maybe it's those distractions and those worries, those non-tangibles like fear and anxiety and worry and depression and those real life things we experience preventing us from rest. But maybe we're also playing a role that we could begin to control to start to get back on track to find that deep needed rest. There's this practice. Take your left hand, well, play along with me if you want to. Put your hands out. In your left hand, I want you to reach your hand up, and in your right hand, I want you to put it back. As you lift your hand up, And as you press your hand back, the hand that is back, you are letting go of all that stuff. Letting go and setting aside those things that distract you. Maybe it's the, literally, throw your phone down for a moment. I challenge you. Go 3 hours without your phone, see if you can do it. Or maybe it's the release of the bad habits that you've been trying to kick most recently or for years. Or maybe you need to release and let go of the perfectionism and let the dust enter your home and stop trying to constantly live up to other people's expectations. Or maybe there's some other type of distraction to let go. And then with this other hand that is up. So you're shaking all it out. Now you actually got two hands. Now you're ready to receive. You're ready to receive the deep, beautiful peace that Christ can provide. Be still and know that I am God. You're ready to receive the beautiful reassurance that you are a deep, beautiful child of God, and nothing and no one can ever change that. You're held in God's hands. And you're ready to be lifted in a new direction. That feeling of deep rest is a joy. Quick little story. In August, John and I, the kids, went to Maine for a week of vacation, and we enjoyed some time in Acadia National Park. It was fun. I've learned so many of y'all have been to Maine before, and many recently this summer, a honeymoon trip for some and other vacations for others. I'll tell you, these 42-year-old dry bones were exhausted by the time I got to Acadia. Trekking and trekking and trekking and trekking. But I'll tell you, that week away was a time of spiritual rest. A time when I thought, like, we had just arrived in Michigan. I'm like, oh, this looks like Michigan so far. Until we got to the big boulders and the beautiful rocky coast and the ocean front. And as we would walk along the ocean water, hopping over rocks and boulders, everybody needs a 9-year-old to lead their way. You could listen to the crashing waves, and you could feel the sunshine upon your face, and you can soak up those blue skies. And as we're trekking, and at first, it's that exhaustion you feel like you're climbing up Mount Everest with. All of a sudden, it kind of turns into this little Lord of the Dance hop and skip, where you're wandering through the woods and marveling at the tall pines and taking in the beauty of the forest, and you're slowing down and moving things from the calendar for a moment, and all you have to do is hop in a car, add a few activities to your day, and experience some spiritual renewal in a slowing pace. Being present to your family. Y'all, try it. Be present to your family and notice God's beauty of creation all around. It was nourishing for the soul and an opportunity to encounter the divine. Now, vacations don't go on forever, right? They last for a moment, and then we're back to our rat race of routines, and pretty soon we're on that hamster wheel going round and round. So I always ask myself this question. How do I take a little vacation with me? Meaning, how do I create a sustainable life where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest, and you're able to do that on a daily basis? Not like live life on a retreat, but find those 10, 15, 20 minutes each day. How do you find that balanced life, that God-focused life, to present and notice the divine all around you, to be more present to Jesus like Mary? How do you live more like Mary and less like Martha? For me, I've found that I can embrace the divine around me and experience rest when I am paying attention to God's presence throughout my day. And I let go of those distractions and try to embrace God's beauty. But what is it for you? What gives you rest? I'm wrapping up here. How do you connect to the divine? What nourishes your soul? There's got to be 200 people in this room, and there's going to be 200 different answers for that. But what makes your spirit sing? What brings joy to your dry bones and makes them rise again? What makes you smile so big that the creases on the ends of your eyes just deeply crease and smile because you're sparkling with joy so much? Jesus says he'll give us rest, so let's take him up on it. Let's turn over the stuff that distracts and tune our hands upward in receiving God. So here's your homework. Yeah, I'm giving homework when I've told you to rest. Your homework is look at your calendar this week and take a red pen if you have it and cross something off. And find a few hours where you get to go screen free. Try it each day. It's lovely. And then come over to church if you feel up for it. Come over to church and sit in the beautiful Memorial Garden. And be still and know that God is there. Or sit on your front porch or your back porch. Or just step outside and listen for the sounds of nature and the beauty of God all around you. And encounter God anew and afresh. Embrace your Mary. Release your Martha. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Amen.
Beside the pool that flowing. Isn't it wonderful to have people from all three services together here today? Isn't that marvelous? Yeah, it is. You know, it means that there is bound to be somebody here that you don't know real well. So I'm going to invite you to take a minute, only a minute, a silent minute. I want you to turn and look around and look for the face of someone you don't know that well. Just for a second. You can stand or sit, but just take a minute and actually look around. You're looking for somebody you don't know that well. No talking, no talking, no talking. I hear that talking. I used to be a teacher. I know talking. All right. Now, I invite you to keep in your mind a picture of the person you found who you don't know quite as well. And let's pray. God of peace, God of hope, God of rest for our souls, we come to you today to say thank you for caring so deeply for each and every one of us, your children. Thank you for pausing to look into our eyes and into our hearts and for noticing when we are becoming frazzled or worried or weary. Thank you for noticing when the world just seems to be too much and for offering us an alternative pathway, the way of rest. Lord, there are days when our bodies are limping or broken or aging or harried, and they need time to rest. There are days when our emotions are fearful or angry or resentful or grieving, and rest seems difficult to find. There are times of transitions when the pace of change leaves us dizzy, barely able to rub two brain cells together. Even when the transitions are happy ones, like starting a new job or welcoming a new baby or building a new relationship, even then, a bit of rest can make a big difference. If we could only find a way to pause for a while, to get away for a while, to stop the worry, to stop the limping, to stop the anger. Lord, thank you for the moments of rest that you bring to us. Yet, the rest you offer is something more than a simple pause. The rest that is in you is a fresh point of view, a new pair of eyes for seeing our situation, a new set of ears for hearing the story from a different point of view, a new heart for seeing beyond ourselves. The rest you offer may begin with a pause, and so, Lord, we thank you for those pauses, a time of prayer, but the impact we experience is something that plays out in the world after the pause ends, and we're back in life and we are still seeing with fresh eyes. The rest you offer brings us fresh inspiration, hope for the future, and rest for our souls. Lord, we pray for that kind of rest today and every day. Lord, we pray especially for rest for those for whom we'll be tying prayer knots in the quilts today, for James and George and Nancy. We pray that whatever is troubling them today, that they will find rest for their souls as they come to know that they are safe in your love. We pray also for all those who are living in terror of their lives this day, for those who do not have enough to eat, for those who have to walk a long distance just for a drink of water. Whether they are in Liberia or Ukraine or Palestine or somewhere else in this world, or Lord, even in our own nation, teach us to do our part to help them also find rest for their bodies, for their souls. And now, my friends, in the silence, I invite you to remember the person you saw just a few minutes ago. And I invite you to pray for that person to find rest, rest in Jesus, rest for their soul, for fresh eyes and a new spirit. Lord, thank you for the gift of this church family. May we be a blessing for others as we live out our faith together. Now hear us as we pray together the words that will be on the screen, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for leading us in prayer, Pastor Lynn. As we continue in this time of worship, there are so many different ways that we can respond to God's good work in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And as the ushers move through this space to collect that, I just wanted to share that a couple of weeks ago, Denny Dahlman came and actually responded to a note that you had sent out, Suzanne, about monetizing our parking lot for the massive event that took place in downtown Brighton last week. The Gilmore Girls fans were everywhere in this town. Everywhere you looked, there were Gilmore Girls fans, including in our parking lot. And just last weekend, by a couple, the gift of your time, a couple of volunteers, nearly $3,000 was raised for Water for Life through the donations of folks in our parking lot. So thank you so much for your support, and to Denny and Susie and others, Gary Tobel I know was out there, Gene Smith, so many folks were out there peddling water and inviting people to donate to our churchwide mission of the year for Water for Life. And in that same spirit, I want to take a moment, we have a mission moment this morning from Mary Margaret Whitley, who's here to share about a really wonderful ministry of our church, Fishes and Loaves. Please welcome Mary Margaret as she comes to share.
Just so you know, touching the microphone's like anti-tech. I feel very uncomfortable doing it. Hello, my name's Mary Margaret Whitley. I'm here, and I have a partner in this mission. Her name's Deborah Sharp, to share a little bit about the mission we coordinate together, which is called Fish and Loaves. Fish and Loaves is a food and fellowship mission. It's coordinated by Livingston County by Love, Inc. Churches around the county provide meals every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. That are open to anyone. I describe them as a community dinner. Our church hosts meals six times a year on the even months, fourth Sunday of the month. Can you tell I'm an engineer? I like numbers. The mission is family friendly. It's as simple as providing a meal, fellowship, and prayer. We often say you get much more than you give when you serve others. This has been true for me and my family. When my children were young, and they're in their 20s now, one of them is here today, I was looking for a way to get them engaged in the community, to help others and instill a spirit of mission. In the beginning, I began to prepare a dish, and I dropped it off. Eventually, my son and my daughter ended up serving meals here. My son ran the dishwasher. My daughter liked to engage with the people and liked serving the people. 15-plus years later, we are still involved in this mission. Fish and Loaves has provided an opportunity for us to engage in the community in ways we would not have. People are hungry, both physically and for connection in Livingston County. I noticed people I had not seen before in our community, at the library, at Myers, or walking along Grand River. I built strong connections with people at the church, built relationships with people I would never have met given my busy life. I learned to let go. I learned I'm enough, despite my insecurities. As an engineer, I have a backup plan for my backup plans. I always used to worry, would we have enough food to feed our guests? Would it be done on time? I still worry about, is the food going to be on time when we serve? Somehow, we always have enough. And usually, we have extra for our guests to take home. The miracle of Jesus feeding many on the shore rings true for this mission, fish and loaves. Finally, prayer. I've always been uncomfortable praying in front of others. Guess what? As the hostess, I have to face my fear every time we host this meal. I always start each fishes and loaves meal with a prayer. And I've never been booed. Amazing. In this way, as small as this seems, this mission has helped me and my family grow and practice our faith. If you're curious about an easy way to engage with others in the church, in a local mission, if you're curious about how to run the dishwasher down in the kitchen, consider Fish and Loaves. We would love to have you. If you are alone or hungry on a Sunday evening, feel free to come to Fish and Loaves for a warm meal and fellowship. Thank you.
Church, it has been so wonderful to worship together, and now you're invited to come dine together. The meal this afternoon is provided by Haley's Kitchen, and so we are glad to have her here. May it nourish and strengthen your body, heart, mind, and soul, and may you find those moments to connect with one another. And now may the love of God, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit fill you this day, this week, this month, this year, giving you abundant rest. Go forth in God's grace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.